Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. For the second year, public school teachers in New Mexico received evaluations under the New Mexico Public Education Department's, or PED's, NM Teach Educator Effectiveness System. As recent protests demonstrate, educators continue to question and dismiss the value of the evaluation system instituted as part of a series of education reforms by the Martinez administration. How are the evaluations serving New Mexico students, teachers, parents, and communities? Do teacher evaluations help or hinder teaching efforts? Joining me to talk about their evaluation experiences, the role these measurements play in our public education system, and their effects are Lucille Fresquez, 28-year veteran and retiring kindergarten teacher from El Dorado Community School just outside of Santa Fe, and Jeff Tuttle, who just finished his 23rd year teaching a 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade inclusion class at Monte Vista Elementary School in the Nob Hill section of Albuquerque. They are in the studio with me. Joining us by phone is Alexis Black, biology teacher at Mayfield High School in Las Cruces, New Mexico, who has been teaching for 16 years. Thanks to all of you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Kathleen, yes, for having us.
Nice. And Alexis, you're joining us by phone. Good morning as well.
Good morning.
To participate in our program, email us at collinshow@kunm.org or post your questions and comments online at KUNM.org. And I do want to let listeners know we did make a request for the Public Education Department Secretary, Hannah Scandera, to appear on our program. We've been asking for her to appear for just about 2 years, and she was again, unavailable, as was anyone else from the Public Education Department. So we will continue to extend an ongoing invitation to the Public Education Department to come in and talk about the role they play in the education reforms here in New Mexico. Now, stories from the end of May in the Albuquerque Journal and the beginning of June in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, tell of teachers who burned their evaluations in protest. Jeff Tuttle, did you burn yours here in Albuquerque?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And why? Why did you burn it?
Well, I felt like it really, we needed to draw attention to the public about the problem that we're having in New Mexico about the evaluations, that we're spending millions of dollars on a system that could be replaced with some emails or Google Docs for free, and that really the system, the sort of foundational part of the system is flawed. And we could do a much better job with some conversation.
Now, what did you score on this evaluation that you burned?
I got highly effective.
Okay. And Lucille Fresquez, did you burn your evaluation in Santa Fe?
Yes, I did.
And why did you choose to do that?
I was disappointed, and I wanted to make a point to this about the state and how they're proving to me and to the other teachers that they're more interested in politics than they are in children.
Well, now, what did you score on your evaluation?
I'm 28 years, and I considered myself a good teacher, and I received a minimally effective.
Okay. Now, Alexis Black, was there a similar protest in Las Cruces?
I believe there was talk of one, but I don't believe it actually happened.
All right. Now, let's learn a little bit. Let's step back a little bit and learn about evaluations, and I'll ask each of you a couple of questions here. So, Alexis, who receives an evaluation? Does every teacher of every kind of course conceivable receive an evaluation?
Yes. I believe as long as you are a licensed teacher teaching in a public school, then you are receiving an evaluation from the state of Mexico.
Okay. And Lucille Fresquez, on what are these evaluations based?
The teacher evaluations are based on how the principals evaluate you in observation in the classroom, and then the other 50% is student scores from what they receive in their scores.
And I believe we have a link up to the Public Education Department's webpage where they talk about the different components of the evaluation, 25% teacher observations, 25% multiple measures. What are multiple measures, Jeff Tuttle?
Those are things like how your classroom environment is. And again, that's based on principal observation and other feedback from just quick visits by the principal, and then your own input to the New Mexico Teach web, how you plan and place your professional development goals and all of those sorts of things.
All right. And then 50% on improved student achievement. And that, those are the test scores and then the value added modeling that we will surely talk about. So on what did evaluations used to be based, Lucille, before the prior to these 2 years with the new evaluation system?
For the Santa Fe Public Schools, it was just a growth plan in that we sometimes did it as a group. For my other two kindergarten teachers, we came with a plan that we wanted to achieve in the classroom, and it anything from literacy skills to math skills, maybe even science was included. So it was a combination of everybody of my three cohorts that we did teach kindergarten with.
And Alexis Black down in Las Cruces, what did evaluations used to be based on?
Based solely on classroom observations. Your administrator would come through twice a year for an official evaluation and then several times for walkthrough evaluations. And then at the end, you would just kind of sit down and discuss what sort of things they'd seen in the classroom, what sort of things maybe you could improve on. But that was our complete evaluation.
And Jeff Tuttle, was that your similar experience here in Albuquerque's district?
We did a lot of just professional development planning and discussion with our administrator about how we progressed on those goals, our own goals, or if our administrator had a goal for us to progress on.
Now, you received a highly effective score or rating. What are the other possible scores? We heard that Lucille received minimally effective. What are the other possible scores?
I think the highest is exemplary, above highly effective. Then you have effective, which is kind of like a C, I guess. And then minimally effective, and then ineffective is the lowest rank for.
And I believe, again, we have a link to a New Mexico Public Education Department website page. You can find it from this page that describes what the evaluations are based on, that shows overall statewide what the scores were. So what, if anything, now you received a high score this year. Did you receive a high score last year as well?
I did.
So what, if anything, do high scores trigger?
Well, you know, I think for me, it's anger, really.
Anger.
I mean, I think if it were a valid measure and if I felt like the state were treating teachers as a commodity something that you could work with, like we do with our students, instead of dispensable. I think the current model is that teachers are disposable and that, you know, we're going to weed out a lot of people and replace them. And so to me, there's really a disconnect between the administration and what's really going on in the classroom.
But do you receive any kind of award or reward for high scores?
Well, there's talk, you know, of doing things like moving highly effective teachers into high need areas and giving them bonuses. But I think that what that will do is, if you're moved into a high need area, displaced from your own community, whatever it is. So, Kathleen, the thing is, the 50% evaluation is test scores, and there is no research anywhere that shows anything correlates better to test scores than socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. There has not ever been any research done that shows that. So you're taking a lot of, you know, you're getting people who are very dedicated to help with poverty and social issues, that are working very hard in socioeconomic areas that need that kind of idealism and those kind of people. And you're telling them that what they're trying to do is not worthwhile. And then if you're lucky enough like me, where you have a good balance and things, the cards kind of play out for you. And, you know, I think I'm a good teacher and I think I deserve to be highly effective, but I don't think that's necessarily related to the evaluation. I think it's just by luck that I got that evaluation. And so I just get angry because I just feel like it's a toss of the dice. And I get angry for New Mexico, because I feel like it's a waste of millions of dollars, and that the public is being finagled. And I feel like if the public really knew what were going on, that, you know, there would be some massive changes.
Well, you talk about the correlation of test scores to socioeconomic factors. But, you know, in the Santa Fe, New Mexican article that we have up on our website from June 3rd, Karen Squires, a Spanish teacher at Capitol High, said she burned her evaluation because it didn't represent her as a teacher. She said it took into consideration student scores on English exams, a language she doesn't even teach. So there are those kind of experiences as well. So Alexis Black, let's dig into your story a little bit. We know you've been a teacher for 16 years. Have you taught biology exclusively for those 16 years?
No, I've actually had a pretty broad experience. I have taught everything from sixth grade science all the way up through the high school.
But always science in some form or another?
I'm just a science teacher, sorry.
No. And how did you score under the old evaluation system prior to this New Mexico teach educator effectiveness system?
I can't remember the terminology they used to use, but it was either you were, I think, like effective or not effective, and I always scored effective. I always got very good evaluations.
And how did you score the past 2 years on your evaluations?
The past 2 years I have scored minimally effective.
And do you know why each year you received a score of minimally effective?
It is solely due to test scores. The big issue is nobody knows what test is being used to score me, nor what students are being used. So on this year's evaluation, I had six different categories on my VOS. Only one of them did we know what that test was, and that was for the end-of-course exam. The other ones just say science other, and we don't know what test we're talking about.
So the end-of-course exam is something that you actually give in your classroom?
Yes.
And so the previous year's score will figure into, like for your evaluation that you received this May, you had your previous year's end-of-course exam figured into that score?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you remember how your kids did on that test last year, the end-of-course exam?
I want to say I had probably about 70 kids take that test, and I believe it was probably in the 60s of the number of students who passed it.
And is that average or below average, or how, or do you even know? I mean, is the data that you can gain limited?
The data that I can gain is only from my own students.
Okay.
And basically, we only did that because we were able to get the scores for our students, and I put it into an Excel spreadsheet and did my own data analysis. As far as data from the state, we never received any of that. If other teachers want to share their data with me, they can, but typically we don't really have time at the end of the year to sit down and go, hey, what did your EOC scores look like?
Okay. Now tell us, what did your 2 years of low scores trigger?
So this year, it looks like I'm going to have to go on a growth plan.
Okay, what does that mean?
Basically, a growth plan is something that is used for teachers who are struggling in the classroom, and whatever area you're struggling on, your principal, your evaluator, and you will sit down and discuss a plan of how you're going to improve that, and then they kind of check in with you throughout the course of the year to see how you're doing. And then at the end of the year, if you have not succeeded on your growth plan, then it kind of gives them a means if they want to terminate you.
So have you sat down with your principal to come up with a growth plan?
Not yet, no. I believe we're going to do that in the fall.
Well, what are the possibilities? If you say that your evaluation scores are based on test scores, what are the possibilities for you for a growth plan?
Well, right now that seems to be the big question. I mean, if my entire evaluation is minimally effective due to test scores, then how do you improve on a test that you're never allowed to look at, that you never receive any feedback on? So right now my principal is talking about maybe just kind of putting professional development in, you know, what sort of things can we send you off to kind of help you improve on your teaching. But the funny part about that is I'm actually on the panel that does science professional development for the district. So,
all right. So there's going to be a challenge then in developing a growth plan for you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, today we're discussing teacher evaluations, their value and effectiveness. I'm joined by Lucille Fresquez of El Dorado Community School, just outside of Santa Fe, by Jeff Tuttle, who teaches at Monte Vista Elementary School here in Albuquerque, and by Alexis Black on the telephone, a biology teacher at Mayfield High School in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Join our conversation at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866. Tell us, is the current system of teacher evaluation a good way to improve our education system in New Mexico? We'll be back with your calls and comments and more from our panel after this short break.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate-dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Currents 2015. Experience interactive new media projections, installations, and amazing performances at the Santa Fe Rail Yard and other citywide venues from June 12th through June 28th. Currents 2015 is open to the public and everyone is invited. No tickets needed. Info at currentsnewmedia.org or on Facebook. A message from the tax-exempt National Endowment for the Arts, the City of Santa Fe, the Santa Fe Arts Commission, and New Mexico Arts.
Endangered, endangered, endangered teaching. Ah, yeah. This teaching's endangered, endangered, endangered teaching. Ah, yeah. Now there's not a scantron in the world that can measure inspiration. And what's more important than knowledge is their imagination. This teaching's endangered, endangered, endangered teaching. Ah, yeah. This teaching's endangered, endangered, endangered teaching. Ah, yeah.
Welcome back to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about teacher evaluations. And that bumper music you just heard was sent in to me by an Albuquerque teacher who wishes to remain anonymous, but who has put passion and concern for the teacher's profession into that that song. And you can find a link to the YouTube video of that song on our website today. So thank you so much to that teacher who sent that in.
That's really nice.
It's a good indicator of the level of concern and passion that teachers have for not only their jobs, but what's happening to them. So we're talking today about teacher evaluations, and I'm joined here by three teachers. And we did invite the Public Education Department to join, and they are not here. But instead, we're going to have our conversation with our teachers and with our callers and commenters. So let's go ahead and bring in our first caller of the day. It's Myra. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning. Thank you, teachers, for your hard work.
Thank you very much. I am not a teacher. You're welcome.
I do work in a school, so I am not evaluated by these evaluations, and the school I work in is not a public school, so we probably wouldn't be subject to the same system. I do see the teachers' work. I do work with the tests that the students take. And I just wanted to address the fact that the student body a teacher has for 36 weeks out of a year is different year by year, and it fluctuates within that year. It's something I saw a cartoon the other day, I wish I could remember it, that said something about, you know, I start out with 30 students, five of them don't speak English, four, just their parents just got divorced. I lose six. You know, it just goes on with what happens. And it can be pretty extreme. And yet at the end of the year, the teacher is going to be, 50% of the evaluation is going to be based on the performance of those kids who changed throughout the year. And that's part of what we want. We want these kids to be growing as socialized human beings, and we want the teachers to participate in that. And here we are weighing everything on 50% of an evaluation on the student's performance on a test when some people can't take tests. And just remember, Rec, when we all were in high school, didn't our class have a personality, and weren't we really either trying to make it into a personality or one was imposed on us. I remember my teachers told us that we were the most apathetic class they'd ever had.
Exactly.
So it just seems that that is the most unfair part about the thing, is that teachers have absolutely no control over what students they're going to get, whether they're going to stay or not, and very little over how well they test. They can only kind of halfway prepare them for that.
Well, and Myra, let's hear from Lucille Fresquez, because I think her story will shed a little more light on that. Yeah, thank you so much for calling. So, Lucille, you've taught at El Dorado Community School outside of Santa Fe for 28 years, and I had a call from a fellow teacher of yours at El Dorado yesterday when the teacher knew you would be a guest on the program, telling me what a wonderful teacher you are and that other teachers and parents were heartbroken when they heard you were retiring. Why are you retiring?
Well, I was heartbroken as well. And again, I was planning on retiring sometime soon. I need to leave a good legacy and leave new teachers some new blood to work with. Why did I retire? I was disappointed again, very disappointed in the whole process, and I wanted, I sort of threw my hands up just said, okay, enough's enough.
Okay, now tell us, like in relation to what Myra just spoke about, the students that you get put into your class, and how much control or how little you have over who you get in your class.
She said it very well, and that is that I do consider myself a fairly good teacher. And because I am, I don't want to say I'm punished, but I am put in a spot to where, because I am, the other teachers do know, or even whoever sets my class up for the next year, they know that I have some skills. And one skill is I am Spanish speaking. I do understand the Spanish speaking children and understand the families. And so put many of the Spanish-speaking children in my classroom. I also I feel very comfortable in teaching children that have special needs. So they put those children in my classroom. So along with the Spanish-speaking special needs children, I am to, and this is foremost, is that I am to bring them into a computer lab that many of my kindergartners have little or no knowledge about. Not only do they have to understand the computer, they may not even be developmentally appropriate to be working and assess. And am I to be assessing them or having state skills? What state believe are the skills needed to perform highly?
Now, do they actually get tested on the computer?
They do.
The kindergartners?
They do. And it's my stomach turns every time I hear of us going into the computer lab. I have tried to work with my students on the computer lab by getting by not having reading buddies, but now having computer buddies to where we go in on a regular basis and learn the computer skills to help them become comfortable with computers. And I'm not saying that computer is not important to know. Computer skills are very much important to know. It's just not the appropriate time to be assessing children with computer skills.
Now, you told me an interesting anecdote about a girl in your class due to anxiety or what joy, I don't know. But how did she approach that test?
Well, she approached it, she would just click. She wanted to get it over with. She was frustrated. She said, she was just clicking. And as she clicked, she just kept clicking to whatever answer she thought was good, or not even thought. She just clicked, was continuing to click. Her test scores came out high, maybe even the highest in the classroom. And how was I to present that to the parents? Because when I assess her, or when I assessed her with my own teacher abilities in my classroom, she came out very high, and then I was explain to her parents that here she is high, but why is she high and how can she be high when she still does not know the alphabet, does not recognize the sounds, or is she close to getting ready to read?
Well, and now we're veering into a discussion about testing, and we're gonna come back to evaluations here, but that score figured into all the scores of your kindergarten scores?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
All right. Well, let me read an email comment from Antoinette. She's a French teacher, but she wants us to know she got minimally effective this year for student scores in math and English reading for being a French teacher. So let's go ahead to our next caller. It's Stephanie from Socorro. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And you want to give us some information or tell us something you know?
Absolutely. Sure. Yes, I've been a teacher in Socorro for 5 years. And in the beginning, I was very much in love with the profession. And I felt like it was an honorable profession to be a part of. And my husband is also a teacher. He's been teaching us for 5 years in Socorro. And we both scored highly effective last year on our tests, on our evaluations. And this year we were both graded ineffective based on test scores. You know, our evaluations, our observations in class were, you know, in the fours and fives score, but our test scores got so messed up. We were scored on things that weren't even valid for our classroom that we received ineffective. And I decided to go ahead and not come back to school next year.
And I'm sorry about that. The public education department would say that those the levels of scores changed because this year there were 3 years of test data rather than one. Isn't that what they're saying at this point?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but they're also getting the data so messed up. Our PE teacher at our elementary school was scored on the SBA results from last year, and she has nothing to do with those. She wasn't even categorized properly, and so they're sending out, the PED is sending out these completely invalid reports, and if we were to do that to our students, if we were to send a report card home that didn't reflect them at all, we would be in so much trouble with the parents. And so I don't understand how the PED is able to get away with sending these scores out that are completely misrepresenting the type of teachers we are. And now we're basically, I feel, enemies of the state now. They treat us like, you know, we're worthless.
Well, and Stephanie, thank you for calling today and sharing your story. And Jeff Tuttle, I know you want to say something. I do want to read an email comment from Amanda first. She's a 9-year veteran at APS, certified, MA degree, level 3 license, was rated minimally effective. She says she views the evaluation system as a way of, quote, killing public education, unquote. If it was a truly effective system, she says she'd be given professional development opportunities and assistance in improving, not more testing and data collection. So on the heels of that, what would you like to say, Jeff?
Well, I wanted to add on to what Stephanie was saying about, you know, the public education department is saying that it's 3 years worth of test data.
Mm-hmm.
On my evaluation and on any third grade teacher that I know of, there was only 2 years worth of test data. And there, even that is not true. And I think, you know, the fact that they're not here today, I don't feel like they feel like they have to answer to the public. I feel like they have to answer. You know, I think Ms. Scandera is on a track that she has to impose all of these changes quickly and be out of New Mexico and go on to the whatever to the next state or the national level to make reforms. And just like Florida, New Mexico is going to be suffering with the outcomes of these reforms for a very long time. We've seen it in Florida and we see in Scott Walker up in Wisconsin. I think they just passed a law that said, you know, that teacher is a commodity thing, that now teachers, you don't even need a high school diploma to be a teacher because they're burning through teachers so much and they don't view them as professionals. So what's happening is the bar is getting lower and lower and lower. And as to what Amanda wrote in about killing public education, I think that's a real good recipe for that. What's happening is they're saying teachers are expendable and they're replacing them with people, and those people stay. And we know for in 5 years, there'll be a 50% turnover of new teachers under this new kind of reform system, and it's getting faster. And so people like Lucille, who are retiring from the system, it's the retirement age is going down and down and down. And as you just heard from Stephanie, people are just quitting early on. they're not even staying around for, and I have to say, I love teaching and I love the profession. I love the community where I'm at. It is the best thing in the world. But this intervention is destroying communities. And I think the public education department is not answerable to that because they're not invested in the community. They don't answer to the community. They're not here. They don't need to be here. They are going to implement these changes and burn through whatever number of teachers they count them as collateral damage for the reform. And rather than a commodity, and then they'll be moving on.
All right. And let me ask you, Alexis Black, down there in Las Cruces. We've heard now Lucille is outside of Santa Fe. She's retiring. We heard from Stephanie in Socorro, and she quit because of the evaluation system. Is that happening in Las Cruces as well?
I really only know what's going on in my school. And okay. I know that we did have a large number of teachers retire this year, especially in history. I don't know if they were, I mean, they were close to retirement already, but I think the evaluations kind of pushed them over the edge.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Tony from Albuquerque. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm a 30-year veteran special education teacher, and I have to say one of the things that is so inherently wrong with this whole system, besides the fact that it's based on junk science, is that we know through extensive evaluation that special education students cannot access their grade-level curriculum. Yet, they are made to test on the grade-level curriculum. They say that the modifications and accommodations they put in place equal the playing field. They do not. And those special education teachers who teach the most disabled are going to be the first ones to go because their kids can't score on grade level. Thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you so much, Tony, for your call. You know, when I read comments to articles, I see this mentioned quite a bit, that the special education students in a class are progressing. They're now up to a fourth grade level, which is what they're capable of, but they're being tested at an 11th grade level. And not only does it hurt the teacher, the students suffer tremendous trauma. Jeff, do you have experience with that? You have an inclusion class. What does
right.
that mean exactly?
Well, so we're integrated with students ranging from highly gifted to students who have not been identified by medical science as to what's been going on with them. Learning disabled or autistic, other kinds of issues come up. And so my coworker may advance the level of the student's achievement significantly, and the parents, you know, are appreciative, but that doesn't bring them up to grade level. And so that affects these teachers. Again, just like the teachers who are dedicated to social justice and impoverished areas, the special education teachers are being evaluated, and that's true on the low end and on the high end of the educational or learning spectrum. If you're a gifted teacher and you get a kid who's scoring advanced in a test and coming into your class and they leave your class as scoring advanced, you've made no progress as a teacher. So you're scored minimally effective. So we have, you know, just amazing, amazing teachers all across the district on every end of the spectrum that are being scored minimally effective because they're not advancing students according to this formula, which, as that last caller said, it's not scientific. There was the Coalition for Academic Excellence that came out and said the public education department is adding apples and oranges and coming up with pickup trucks. That was an op-ed that they took out in August in the Journal of 2012. And there was also last year the American Statisticians Association in April put out a position paper saying that these value-added models across the nation have no statistical meaning or value. And what's amazing to me is that these things still are going on as if they had any merit.
And, you know, I believe we have links to a Washington Post article discussing the American Statistical Association's report and perhaps to that report as well. I got an email from a teacher friend of mine last night, interesting, teaches first grade, and her her problem was, the problem at their school was, they had a lot of kids come in as high readers, and they weren't allowed to test them to their capability. They had to stop at a certain level. So the teachers who the high readers came in, they could show no progress. And so a lot of those veteran teachers with high readers were judged minimally effective. So just a lot of interesting anecdotes coming in. We're talking today about teacher evaluations. I'm joined by Lucille Fresquez. She's a 28-year veteran of teaching. She's retiring as a kindergarten teacher from El Dorado Community School just outside of Santa Fe. I'm joined by Jeff Tuttle, who just finished his 23rd year of teaching at Monte Vista Elementary School here in Knob Hill in Albuquerque. And I'm also joined by phone by Alexis Black, biology teacher at Mayfield High School in Las Cruces, who's been teaching for 16 years. You can join our conversation at 277-5866 or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866. We're going to a short break, but when we return, we'd love to hear from you.
The New Mexico Music Commission is proud to present a Historic Sites concert series featuring popular New Mexico musicians, including the Flying J Wranglers, the Ants Lovers, Red Thunder Bear and the Thunder Rebels, Cowboy Way, and more. Starting June 16th at Fort Selden, hear fast fiddle, native flute, country, and bluegrass. No tickets needed. For specific dates, times, and general information, visit nmhistoricsites.org. A message from the State of New Mexico's Historic Sites.
Not everybody has an old car or truck sitting around, but our vehicle donation program accepts almost anything with an engine, running or not. We take farm equipment, scooters, motorcycles, RVs, boats, high cube vans, even a big riding mower. It's worth a call to see if your donation qualifies, because you get rid of whatever it is, plus get a tax deduction and KUNM membership with one simple phone call. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about teacher evaluations. Before we get to our next call, I just want to read an email comment from Gary, who writes, high-stakes testing comes out of a business model that works for turning out widgets, but not for students who are all different. It's creating a market out of education where the, quote, choosers, unquote, or parents have data to use to compare, quote, products, unquote, teachers and schools, but test scores are a proxy for social class. That's what Gary writes today. So let's go ahead to our next caller. It's Sal from Corrales. Good morning, Sal, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Basically, you guys are totally correct. Teachers are underappreciated, underpaid. My kids have gone to school in the Rio Rancho public school system. They've done great, but I find every teacher you talk to talks about their hands being tied with these performance evaluations, that they don't have time to spend on teaching the students versus doing all this. So basically, I felt like we've got to take our kids out of those school systems, and I've taken our kids and put them into Sandia Prep for their junior and senior year because of that reason, and I find the state and the governor are totally out of touch with reality, and I'm hearing that from every teacher I've talked to, and their funding's being cut, and I appreciate it. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you very much. I'll listen online.
Sal, thanks so much for your call. And Alexis Black, certainly I'm hearing that in Albuquerque, that parents are removing their kids from public schools. Is that happening in Las Cruces as well?
I think there's a little bit of that, but our alternatives to public school are much more limited than they are in Albuquerque. There is, however, a very big movement of opt-out, of opting the students out of the test.
Mm. Yes, and that's another topic to discuss as well. Now, Lucille Fresquez, not only are parents removing their kids, you were telling me you teach at Santa Fe Community College. Do you come into contact with teachers there?
I do. I teach in the early childhood department, and I did receive a rating of exemplary through the teacher evaluations. And it was the students themselves evaluated me, and the students, again, are adults. They are students who are thinking about coming into the teaching profession. And with everything that's going around, we have great discussions on what is happening with teacher evaluations and how we're being evaluated. And many of them are saying, it's probably not worth getting into the teaching profession. And sad to say, I've seen several of the teachers that I have taught or students that I have taught that want to become teachers have decided maybe another area, I should get into another area. Well, so again, we're missing out on those
you're
good
seeing,
teachers.
Yes, you're seeing that. And here's an email comment from Chris, who she says, we have a teacher shortage already in New Mexico, and the evaluation system is driving people away from the field. Her daughter studied to become a teacher at UNM but refuses to work in the public school system because of testing and evaluations. Now, do any of you on my panel today take exception with being evaluated? And so let's – Lucille, you're –
No, I don't. I want to be evaluated. I want to become a better teacher. I want observations from my principals. I seek that out. Or from not even only from my principals, but from my peers and my other colleagues that I have, and I really would appreciate their input so I can become a better teacher. So I'm not afraid of being observed. I welcome that. It's what I'm disappointed in is putting the 50% of screening my children and assessing my kindergarten children who are again developmentally inappropriate to be working on the computer and being assessed through
right.
that area.
Let's go ahead and hear from Kelly from Albuquerque. Our lines are full, and we thank you for that. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, you would like to speak with us today.
Yes. I am a teacher. I have 17 years experience, and I have taught a lot of different content area from fourth grade to eighth grade. So I'm experienced, and I did also get a minimally effective rating. I got the rating, and I did burn it with the other teachers at Albuquerque. The day that that happened, we had our fifth grade graduation, and we had such a beautiful community at my school, and there's parents involved, there's lots of great extracurricular activities. The whole feel at my school is just awesome. So I do want to mention we're a D or F school, that's an aside, but I want to talk about how my evaluation, what it implies for my community.
Yes,
my
please
students
do. Please do.
And my parents. That day, they let me know that they were extremely grateful to me. They told me I was the best teacher their student ever had. They told me, thank you for taking care of my son. And everyone was happy. So I just want to point out that when you attack the teachers, you're attacking the whole community. We are a group, we're a learning community functioning all the time without anyone else knowing what's going on. And it's just going to trickle down to the kids, which is why people are saying it's a way to get rid of public education. It is. It's a way to get rid of the rights of the parents and the students and the communities who actually might be happy with their teachers and their schools that work really hard for their children. And so I just want to point out when we're being attacked as teachers, you know, I can handle that. I can leave this job. I'm very skilled. I can go do something. But I am really wanting to fight for my students because it's going to hurt them in the end.
All
they're
right.
the ones who are going to get hurt.
Thank you so much for your call today, Kelly. I appreciate you sharing your point of view. Let's bring in Cindy from Albuquerque. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Thank you for the discussion.
Absolutely.
I'm an Albuquerque teacher. I'm an elementary itinerant art teacher, which means that I move year to year from mm-hmm. school to school.
Mm-hmm.
They have music one year, and they have art the next year. And so we change off every year. So originally under the first evaluation system that the state PED put together, we were going to be evaluated 50% on a school we hadn't even been at. Anybody can tell that that's ludicrous and that is really not a way to evaluate any teacher.
Well, and so let me ask you, Cindy, so when you see that it's ludicrous in your word, what do you do about it? What are you able to do about that? Can you talk with the district?
Well, what they ended up doing they didn't do it the first year because they could tell that wasn't okay. So that's when the end-of-course exams came out. So last year we had end-of-course exams for the first time. They were poorly put together. They were scrambling. The whole thing is that they've put this together so quickly and so unprofessionally without really setting it up to be a support for teachers and students, right? So we had the end-of-course exam last year for the first time, and they didn't get us to us till like the 12th hour. We were supposed to get it on the Monday, the second to the last week of school. We had to grade it in the last week. So, I mean, everything's pushing. Not a very good exam. So this year we got evaluated with that score, which was fine. Everybody, I think, in our department did pretty good. But next year it's going to have to work on the value-added model where they're going to we have to show improvement because most of our students scored on that end-of-course exam in the 80th and 90th percentile in there. Okay, so next year is when it's going to start being more difficult. But the other thing I wanted to say about it, so they're scrambling to do this. It's not well thought out. It's not well prepared. And it's scrambling on a regular basis to try to get anything done at all. The other thing I wanted to point out is that the evaluation system that we had been doing prior to this was a three-tier system with 9 competencies, and it's been a very strong, supportive evaluation. A teacher and your advisor get together and work out a plan. You get to devise it yourself, and you get to build your own skills, and then you get evaluated on that.
Well,
that's the state law.
And Cindy, we're going to move on. We've got a number of callers, but thank you for your call. And Cindy brings up a point. I know last year when we talked about teacher evaluations, I think there was a claim by the Public Education Department that under the previous evaluation system, 99% of teachers had been highly effective. And so they saw that as a problem, and they wanted to change things. So that in effect, was the rationale. Now, I want to bring in Mark from Albuquerque. And Mark wants to talk about something that I've seen discussed again in comments. And anecdotally. So, Mark, you want to make a point about how teachers are responding to the evaluations. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So someone made I think one of you commented that teachers don't have a choice, and it struck a chord in me because I've been working in the schools many years. The choices that I see them making is that they can't control what happens the year that they're in the classroom, but they can sign up, let's say, a great algebra teacher will decide to teach science or maybe like history or even switch to PE. So within the system, teachers are reacting to the testing by doing something that makes more sense to them, even though they're not teaching their best subjects. So some of the best teachers are switching to other subjects based on the testing. And so they're kind of like, you know, changing their careers within the system of teaching. And so what you're having is what that lady said, that they're destroying public education. This is one of the ways that's happening because the best algebra teachers could be teaching PE now.
All right. Thanks so much for your call this morning, Mark. Let me go ahead and read an email comment from Dina, and then I want to get to our panel here. Dina has 18 years teaching in New Mexico. She says the principal observations of teachers are really useful if done well. She says it's the testing that is the problem with the evaluations. If the tests weren't weighed as heavily in evaluations, that would be a more accurate measure of teachers. So my question is, what is good about this current system? And Alexis, let's start with you. Is there anything good about the current system that you would like to see perpetuated?
I really enjoy the 4 domains and how they're broken down into categories. So when the principal comes in and evaluates you, they're looking at numerous things. This led to great discussion with my evaluator about areas where I was already strong and areas that I was weak in. So I really don't have a problem with that part of the evaluation.
Okay.
I think my biggest problem is it only counts as 40% of my total evaluation.
And Jeff Tuttle, what about for you? Is there anything good about the current evaluation system?
You know, there is. And I think the thing is that we need to elevate or think about the structure of education in Mexico, because Gary King, when he was running for governor, said he would throw out the whole system and kind of start over. And that creates this sort of constant pendulum swinging in education that we see jumping from one thing to another. But if we have a more democratic system, and if we get rid of a Secretary of Education, and so we can keep the good things that are from one system and hybridize and try to use good ideas from all over and have a general discussion instead of tying it into a political governor's career or something like that, where we're going to get this back and forth swinging where one party, you know, is going to stand firmly against the other party simply because it was the other party's doing. I think there are lessons learned that we can take from here, but there's definitely a lot that we can lose from this.
And just to be accurate about it, that pendulum swung during Governor Richardson's term, did it not, from Board of Education to Secretary?
And, right.
And you know, I hear people say it's going to be hard for any governor to give up that level of power that they now have.
Well, I think we need to hope for a governor who really believes in democracy and who would return the power to the people. I think the problem with the State Board of Education as it was under Richardson was that they were saying that each of the members represented their own fiefdom and were interested only in their own little thing. But there's formulas that we can use to have a state board that represent a broader interest than their own district and keep it democratic. We need to work towards that.
All right, and let's go ahead and bring in Ronnie from Santa Fe. And Ronnie, you've been holding patiently for quite some time. Thank you for that, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Oh, well, I wanted to say that Lucille Frescas is one of our finest teachers here in Santa Fe. And I met her, 17, 18 years ago when she taught my kindergarten student, my son. But since then, I became a teacher in great part to Lucille Frescas seeing in me that I was a teacher. I never thought I could be a teacher, especially at the caliber that I saw her teach. Kindness, social justice really starts with kindness, and she really knew the developmental aspects of that age group. So she's speaking to something very important that I hope the public hears. And since then, I should say that I am the art educator, one of the art educators at El Dorado Community School, and I am nationally board certified. I was the past president of the New Mexico Art Education Association. I have one teacher who inspires all of these things. National Art Educator of the Year. I'm one of two educators who've won that. And I look at my education, and I think it all started with Lucille Frescas. So for Lucille Frescas to receive a minimally effective rating is absurd. And I think of all the teachers who come to her to ask pertinent questions about the growth development of their students, and she's always available. She's always there.
Well, and thanks so much for your call, Ronnie. We appreciate it. And we're closing out on our time here. And so, Alexis, I want to start with you. What would you ask our listeners to do in the face of what they're hearing today?
Stand by their teachers. You know, don't buy into that idea that we hear in the media that we're all just sitting around doing nothing, waiting on tenure and waiting to retire. We're out there working hard for your students every single day, and we need as much support as we can get.
All right, and Lucille, we just had a very complimentary call about you, and that's nice to hear. And as you're retiring, it's a nice way to leave the profession. What do you say to the people who are listening today and what you would like them to do?
I challenge them to be advocates for our children. I challenge them to walk into a teacher's steps and to go into a classroom and be faced with 20-plus children and try to teach them something, given everything that is happening from observations to evaluations. That's not what it's all about. Children, children, children.
And Jeff Tuttle, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
I would like to hope that we could change the structure in New Mexico and think of ways that we can preserve what's good and from the old system and move forward to something better for a new system, and ask people to look out for democracy that way.
All right. Thanks so much to our guests, teachers Jeff Tuttle, Lucille Fresquez, and Alexis Black. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy lives to be with us here today. You can find a podcast of this and other KUNM call-in shows online at KUNM.org. Jefferson White engineered the show today. Kaveh Movahed is our assistant producer and handled our phones. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This is the KUNM call-in show and 89.9 KUNM, broadcasting live from the University of New Mexico.